Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
We should look at what happened in 2016. And this is why people do resolutions. They look at their life in 2016 and they say they want to make changes. They want to do things differently. The only thing about it is most people only think about the physical things. You know, that's why the largest population in the gyms for the first 2 months of the year, everybody's vowed they're going to get in shape. And they all get their memberships going and start. And, you know, first month, they stay with it. And second month, maybe. But after the third month, all of a sudden, they don't do it anymore. But what I just want to say today, this morning, and let's pray before I go any further. Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts by your Spirit in your word, through your word, and through me, O God. As I open your word this morning, let it speak to us where we are and draw us out of where we are and bring us where you want us to be. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The one scripture that I always love and I love to quote is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And it's similar even to the one that we just read about in the communion verses. It says, examine yourselves as to whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Or the old King James says you're reprobate, which means that you can't qualify for the kingdom unless Jesus is in you. So the thing about the new year is that we should reflect on what is my spiritual condition at this point in my life. Have I been doing what God has shown me I'm supposed to do? Have I been living a life that's pleasing to Him? What am I doing with what God has given me? So the two questions, and I just have two questions, and you can come up with your own, but it says, the first question is our life consistent with what the Bible teaches? Are we living a life, a duplicitous life? For those that may not know what that means, you know what the duo means, right? Duo means two. So duplicitous means you're living a double life. Are you saying one thing and being another? Are you saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, God bless you? What's the thing that we always say? How you doing, brother? I'm blessed. Are we saying that and then getting home and like, why is all these things happening to me? Why can't I be? You know, are we doing that? Or are we living a life even though things never, we all should know this by now, but sometimes we forget, things never go like we think they should go. Am I right? No matter how much we plan, no matter what we expect, things never go exactly like we expect them to go. Now, if we're following the Lord, the big picture will go like it's supposed to go. You know what I mean? In other words, as we're progressing in God, there's little hiccups along the way, but as you keep progressing, all things work together for good. But everything, every plan does not go the way we planned it. The best life to use is your own. But think about when, you know, I wanted to be a lawyer from the beginning. Well, I shouldn't say that, not from the beginning. At a young age, I wanted to be a lawyer. But I had no idea what that meant. You know, you always want to be something and don't really know what it means to be what you want to be. So you have to first learn what it takes to become a lawyer. So I started to investigate it slightly, not a lot, but I knew I had to go to college. I knew that. So I had to get into college. Now, initially, I went to a college in Florida. I went to play football down at Florida A&M for those, it's not a mystery, for those that have known me. And I went down to that school, and I did not like it down there. It wasn't the weather, because the weather was real hot at first, but then it got cold, too. I think it was the coldest it had ever been in Florida was the time I got down there. They had frost on the ground. I said, this is Florida? Where's the sun? You know, this is called the Sunshine State. Well, we were in northern Florida, which is Tallahassee, so it's not as warm. It's hot in the summer, but it has its cold points. And so things weren't going the way I had what? Planned. So I came back. I came back to Seattle. And so I was trying to transfer to the University of Washington. And guess what? They didn't accept me. I put my transfer in. They said, oh, you're too late. You can't get in school now. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Of course, it didn't dawn on me that you can't transfer 2 weeks before school starts. But as an 18-year-old, I didn't make the decision until I got back to Seattle. So I figured everybody, since they knew who I was, I could just put my application in and I'd just, oh, yeah, Harold, come on in. We've been waiting for you. We was wondering what took you so long. But no, that's not what they said. They said, no, you can't transfer. You got to wait 3 months and then reapply. And so I waited 3 months. That was the longest 3 months. I played so much pool. My best friend had a pool table. We were playing, we must have played 300 or 400 games of pool. Because we were watching soap operas. And that got old real quick. It's like, all these stories are the same. What is the problem here? I said, nah, we can't watch these soap operas. So we started playing pool. And then we would lift and work out and all that stuff because we were still trying to play football. And then when I got to 3 months and applied for the spring, they told me again I couldn't get in. And now I'm really perplexed because down in Florida, I had a really high GPA the first quarter. So it wasn't my GPA and it wasn't my SAT scores and all that stuff. So my dad came in town, and this is, and he knew one of the assistant athletic director at the University of Washington. So we met with him, and he said, well, go apply through this program, which was called, I think it was the EOP program, Equal Opportunity Program or something like that. I can't remember the exact what it meant. But to make a long story short, we were able to get in. Once they saw our grades and everything, we were able to get in. And so I'm saying that the path that I wanted to take, I knew I had to take a certain path, but I didn't know how and which path would be the one I would end up taking. And that's the way life is. We want to do something. We think we can do it. But all of a sudden, when you start making the journey, a roadblock comes up. Things don't go the way you wanted to. You know, I mean, for some people who wanted to go to college, their SAT scores weren't good enough. And they stopped right there. And that's what opposition is designed to do, is to keep you from pursuing what it is that you're trying to pursue. And that's in the natural world. But in the spiritual world, it's the same thing. We that know Jesus know that we're supposed to have a lifestyle that's set apart the fancy word in the Bible is called sanctified. That's what sanctification means. You're not living the same way everybody else is living. That's what it means to be a Christian. I know that doesn't sound popular, but that's what it takes to be a Christian. You have to separate yourself from the things of the world. That doesn't mean you can't eat, because obviously you have to eat. That doesn't mean you can't have a house, because you have to have a place to live. That doesn't mean you can't have a car. Doesn't mean you can't have even a lot of money. But what it means is the value of all that stuff is not the same as if you were not a believer. Those things are not valuable to you. God and pleasing God is the most valuable thing in your life. And so we have to always ask ourselves, is our life consistent with what the Bible teaches? And the second question we have to ask ourselves, am I doing things in my life or with my life to grow spiritually? To grow. Everybody say, grow. Now, I said something once, and I think I misspoke on this, so I'm going to try to correct it if you probably remember it. I said, you can't just grow by reading. But that is not 100% true. You have to read in order to grow. And when I say you have to read the Bible. It's the pathway to growth, but it's not the only indication of growth. Are you with me on that? So that means that in order to know what it is that you're shooting at, the Bible is the directions, if you will, that gives us to the place that where we're supposed to go. So the scriptures are the ones that teach us how and show us where we want to be. So that, in that sense, you grow in the understanding of what God requires of you. And as you grow in the understanding, the next step is to what? You hear it, you have to do it, right? James said, don't be a hearer only, but a doer. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. So we have to look at our lives, and this is a good time to do it, is my life consistent with the scriptures, and am I doing things to grow? And then the second thing we should do, and this is in Galatians chapter 6, so let's go there and then we'll be almost done. And this, it sounds similar, but it is similar, but it's not the same. Galatians 6:4 says this. He says, let each one examine his own work. So first you examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, but then you examine your work. Everybody say work. Everybody knows what work is, right? It's the thing that you do. It's just your spiritual works. Because some people read that and only think of their spiritual works. But it's also the work you're doing. What do you want to do with your life? You know, some of us are older. And like I told you, I don't know how I got to this place in my life. Because I was not a believer when I decided to be a lawyer. I wanted to play football first, then I said, well, I'll make a whole bunch of money, and then I'll be a lawyer, and then I'll learn to keep the money. But the football didn't work out, so I didn't become a football player, so I just had to struggle and become a lawyer. But when I got saved, I had to check with God to see if me being a lawyer was what he wanted me to be. Are you with me here? I had to go through to find out if being a lawyer was my will or was it the will that God wanted for me. And so I remember, and like I said, I know you guys have heard this story. I had gotten married at that time. Annis and I were just, it was 1986, so we had been married just about 3 years, 3.5 years, Marquise was born. And so I wanted to go to law school in California, but it turns out that wasn't going to work. So I filled out two applications, one application to the University of Washington Law School and one application to what was old, used to be the University of Puget Sound Law School, which is now Seattle U Law School. And I said, Lord, I want to be a lawyer. And as far as a job goes, this is what I said, I want to be a lawyer. I says, but if I'm not a lawyer, if you, this is not what you want for me to do, then close the doors on these applications, because you can't be a lawyer unless you go to law school, right? And if you, I'll take that as a sign and a direction that you don't want me to do this, and that you're going to lead me into some other profession. In Jesus' name, amen. And I went and mailed my one application and hand-delivered the one to the University of Washington, because I was still at the University of Washington at that time.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And of course, it takes two or three months to hear. And in the meantime, we had made a trip to Wichita. My grandfather was about to pass away. He had cancer, and Marquise was the first great-great-grandchild. So I wanted to take him down and meet my grandfather, my mom's dad, before he passed. My dad's dad had already passed before Marquise. Well, actually, it was after he was born, but we didn't know about it. So we were going down to, we went down to Wichita. He was there. He saw Marquise, and then we were going to drive back an old truck that he was giving my mom. She said, well, you guys can drive the truck back to Seattle from Wichita. Well, you know, that's not like down the street, right? And so he took the truck to make sure it was going to work. And you know how that is. He takes it to his buddies. And Grandpa had a lot of buddies because they all were handy people, so they fixing stuff. And so we get in the truck, and wouldn't you know it, it breaks down. Right outside of Oklahoma and on the border of New Mexico. It breaks down in the middle of the night. And the car just all of a sudden, it just stops working. So we're driving and Anna's telling me, get over, get off the road. Well, you know, because there ain't no lights on those roads, right? So I pull over and we go and look and see, can't see nothing, and we don't have a flashlight. So we slept in that truck that night, and me, Marquise, and Annis. And we waited until I didn't sleep. I don't know. Did you sleep, Annis? I think Marquise's the only one that slept. But as soon as day broke, we got out of the car, and we saw this wire that was loose. And Annis said, well, look, this wire is loose. And so she rolled it together because, you know, she did speakers, right? So she put the wire together, and we got in the truck and it started up. It's like, oh, praise God. All right, let's go. And about 2 miles later, the thing caught on fire. At first, it was smoking. And then Anna said, pull over. I said, well, wait, I'm trying to see. Well, was it just the radiator? She said, pull over. She didn't want to know. So I pulled over. She grabbed Marquise and ran back that way. And I'm looking at trying to face. She said, get away from the truck. And then all of a sudden now it's engulfed in flames. So we get there. The truck driver comes by and they have extinguishers, but they didn't have the strong one, so they couldn't put it out. We called the fire station. And like I said, we were in between New Mexico and Oklahoma. Neither one would come because we were in New Mexico, so the Oklahoma one wasn't coming. And the New Mexico said, you're too far for us to get there. So the truck just burned. And here we are. And then my mom had put, and my grandmother had put an old sewing machine, one of those old Singer sewing machines that You pumped with your foot. It was kind of an antique thing. That burned up too. Everything. And then it exploded. You know, you watch television, cars explode. It's not the same thing. Maybe because we had so much gas. They said the more gas you have, the less the explosion is. But it went poof, and it blew up. And here we are, stranded in a strange state, in a strange town, with Marquise. Marquise had just been, at that time, he had been sick. And like, but he slept the whole way. He didn't know what was going on. He slept the whole time. And so the police chief came and just took great care of us, took us to a hotel, and we had some money, and I don't even know how we had any money. I guess we had, mom must have given us some money or something. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, they knew our pastor that we went to church with here, so they took care of us. And my brother-in-law, finally, Kevin, I don't know if you guys know Kevin. Kevin's actually done some electrical work for the church. He came and got us. He took us to his house. He lived in Phoenix and then drove us to L.A. and then paid for us to come home on the plane. And all this God was orchestrating. But this was not the way we went. Planned it. And when I got back to Seattle, I get a notice from both law schools that I've been accepted. And I say that to say, we don't know what God wants for us until we ask him. And so once I knew that God wanted me to be a lawyer, I knew that there was nothing that could stop me from being a lawyer. I got into law school, and to my shame, I did not study like I should have. Now, pastor did. And I got behind on reading. I was so far behind on my reading, I just gave up. I'm not reading 1,000 pages. I can't read 1,000 pages in 1 month. I'm just not doing it. But I knew that God wanted me to do this. So I had to pray as a God. And then on top of that, Annis and I were fussing and fighting and arguing and all the things that happen in a marriage. And then but God first got a hold of us, me, and I'm trying to get out of law school, and my grades are just under what it's supposed to be. And so what do you do when you need help? You pray, right? And God says to me, well, if you want me to do something, you're going to have to reconcile with your wife. Notice he's not really all that concerned about my law school. He's concerned with my relationships. Amen? And I could have said, well, Lord, I need to be a lawyer, and this woman, she just got to get on board and submit and do what I tell her to do. You know, I could have done that, but that's not the tack that God was going to take with me. He says, you need to get right with your wife. So I went to Annis and I said, look, I don't know what it's going to take for us to get this thing together, but we need to get it together because I need to graduate. That's what I told her, I think. And she knew I needed to get out of school too, because she was tired of me going to school. I went to college for 9 years trying to do this. So she's tired of it too. So what I'm saying is that I had to do it the way God wanted me to do it if I wanted him to now lead me in what I was about to go into. So to make a long story short, I got out of law school, my grades got up, I passed the bar, and that was an adventure, but I'll tell you that story another time. But every step of the way, because I knew God wanted me to do what I was about to do, I knew that there was nothing that could stop me. And when you know that God wants you to do something, nothing can stop you. Even the ones that want to take it can't take it unless God says they can have it. Are you with me here? And that's great faith, because that's knowing that God is in charge of your life. And so now when things don't go the way that I expected to go, like People don't pay me when they're supposed to pay me. Everybody been there and self-employed? And, you know, just because they don't pay you, that doesn't mean you still don't have to pay your mortgage, right? The mortgage people don't want to hear the excuse of why all your clients haven't paid you this month. They just want their money. So I don't fret about that. I said, Lord, you said I was going to do this job. You're going to make a way. You're going to provide for me. I don't see it on the horizon. I don't have anybody that owes me that kind of money. But I know that you're my provider. And so you're going to make a way. And I don't know how. And see, this is where we always get. I want to know, how are you going to do it, Lord? Tell. I just stopped that. I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you will. And I'm going to just trust that you're going to make it come to pass. And I just leave it. And every time he makes a way. He sends people I don't even know. He does things that I didn't even expect. And that's the way God does. And that's why we have to find out what type of work God wants us to do in our lives. Because once he gives us that insight, he will make sure that you're never without. And then the last thing I want to say is our work should never contradict the things that we believe. We should not be doing things that we know we ought not to be doing things. Of course, we know that illegal stuff is out of the question as a believer. You can't be running Ponzi schemes as a Holy Ghost-filled man. You guys know what a Ponzi scheme is? A Ponzi scheme is here. Give me your money and invest here, and there is no here. You just take the money, and there's never an investment. You're just taking money. That's what Madoff did. He says, here, give me all your money, and I'll invest in this. And he got billions of dollars on the pretense that he was investing it somewhere. And he kept some of it because they couldn't find some of it. Anyway, so we don't do things that are inconsistent with the things that we believe in. Otherwise, God will not be in it and he will not bless it. He will cause you to be arrested if you do illegal things. You might say, why would God do that? Because he loves you and doesn't want you to continue down that path. That's why he stops us. Amen? Sometimes he tries to tell you to stop verbally. You know what I'm saying? In our heart, he's telling us, we know we shouldn't be doing this. He's telling, don't do that. Don't continue doing that, Harold. Oh, Lord, just one more time. Just one more deal, and I'll stop. But the one more deal never comes, and you never stop. It's okay. He's all right. We're almost done. So we have to remember that the things we do in work have to line up with what we do in our spiritual life. We should not be supporting causes that we know are not biblical. Not, I don't need to go down the list, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And so finally, so what I want to do is just have us all stand up. So we're done, and I'm going to just pray
this. Thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.